Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and we're going to start off with the interactive bit. How are you? Really? Oh. No, I wasn't going to do the bit before the theme music this week. No, because I've got so much stuff going on, and it's just one extra thing that I've got to think about. Can we not do it this week? Definitely want the bit before the theme music. Okay, fine. This is the bit before the theme music. Run the theme music!
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm not going to bother doing the interactive bit because we already done it. It was a rousing success. So, actually, I've got an interesting one. Do you remember in the last episode, Benji Pearson sent in an email and he was talking about a few different things. One of the things he mentioned was an old Christmas carol that he could remember from when he was young called Melchior Caspar Balthazar. And he couldn't find it anywhere, like a recording of it, but he had the sheet music, which he'd managed to find. And I said, well, why don't you just, like, record it yourself? And he has! Yeah! He's got someone playing piano, there's a bunch of them singing. I'm not going to play the whole thing, the whole thing's 3 minutes, but I'll play you the first verse, and the chorus, I guess. And, yeah, you can have a listen to it, see what you think. It might ring some bells with you guys. It might be an old carol that you knew from when you were young. Can't lie to you, kids. I'd never heard it myself, but here it comes now. That was Melchior Caspar Balthazar, sung by Benji and the Jets. Benji Pearson and a bunch of other people. Thanks for that, Benji. Now it's time for this.
This is the Total Christmas Podcast. Listen up, Jack Ask.
Goodness me, that jingle. Do you want to hear it again? Shall I play it for you again? I'm playing it again. Have a listen to it again.
This is the Total Christmas Podcast. Listen up, Jack Ask.
I love that jingle. I love it. It's the best part of the whole show, to be honest. Yeah, better than my ramblings. Anyway, so I've got another couple of questions. These also come from Travis. He's been asking a lot of questions. This is a segment of the show where you send in a dilemma. I solve the dilemma using my incredibly tiny pea-like brain. So, the first question is this. I'm sure you've heard that Cher released a new Christmas album, and I wanted to hear your opinion on another debate between me and my girlfriend. Which new Cher song is better? DJ, play a Christmas song, or I Like Christmas? And he's put, I personally enjoy I Like Christmas, and when we listened to the song together, I called exactly when the bells would begin as the song started and impressed my girlfriend, who is a music teacher. Tell you what, that's impressive. If you can impress a music teacher, you've got some skills there, Travis. Now, as to which of these two songs is better, it's very straightforward. That DJ Play a Christmas song, yeah, it's just loaded with auto-tune. I'm not a fan. Do you want me to play a clip of it? I'm going to play a teensy bit of it. This is it.
No one on the streets and the city is quiet. I should be asleep by the heat of the fire, but I'm can feel the pulse as I walk in the door. Take me through the crowd to the middle of the floor. Red and the green lights are hitting me just right.
I don't need that at Christmas. You shouldn't be auto. Was Bing Crosby auto-tuned? Was Nat King Cole auto-tuned? I don't think so. They might have been. I don't know. Actually, to be honest, I shouldn't have asked you the question. Because I don't know the answer. It was rhetorical. Yeah, I didn't know the answer. They probably weren't. They definitely didn't sound like that. Like, really bad auto-tune. That is a naff. I'm not saying it's a naff song. I just don't care for it. But what I do care for is the other one, I Like Christmas. Partly because I like Christmas. So that was easy. I've dealt with that one. Well, what's the next question? Here we go. He says, I want your take on real or artificial Christmas trees. I'm wondering because both have pros and cons. I'm currently living between two homes in two cities while I finish another degree, and my roommates and I are looking for a tree. What kind of tree is your go-to when it comes to artificial? Tall and skinny, short and jolly, dark green or light green? Or are you some monster who prefers white or blue trees? Pre-lit? Multicoloured? Warm white? Cool white? Any advice is greatly appreciated. Well, this is very straightforward, Travis. Okay? I hold no stock with artificial trees. There's no reason for an artificial tree. If you get an artificial tree, okay, how are you going to get loads of pine needles all over your floor? Huh? And then, like, in the middle of June, you're walking along and you're getting them stuck in your socks again. How are you going to get that with an artificial tree? You're not, Travis. You're not. And also, like, when you bring it in, you got to hoover up straight afterwards because there's needles everywhere. And then when you're taking it out, then there's dozens because the thing's pretty much dead by then and they're falling everywhere. You don't get that with an artificial tree. What's the point? That's part of Christmas, isn't it? The needles everywhere. I would never have an artificial... Actually, that's not true. We got two. We got two little ones, but only like 2 foot tall. They got like the fibre optics in them and they sort of light up. They're quite nice, actually. They don't look anything like a real tree, though. I know you can get these ones these days that actually do look like a real tree. If that's what you want, you've got to get the one that looks most like a real tree so that people think you have got a real tree. See, the problem we've got here, Travis, is you live in Canada, okay? And in Canada, it's freezing cold. So your tree will be fine. It will last. If you live somewhere like Arizona, then you get a Christmas tree. If you get it at the start of December, it's going to be done in like within a week. I would allow you to have an artificial tree there, but it's probably quite hard to get a real tree there, I'm guessing. I don't know. But in Canada, Travis, I think you should be going for a real tree. It's probably cheaper as well to buy just... I know they're not actually cheap to buy a real tree, but it's got to be cheaper to buy one of the good artificial ones. But if you are going to go artificial, which you shouldn't, then get one that looks real. That's just my opinion. The other thing I've got to say is I love the smell of a Christmas tree. It's just glorious. And like the whole living room smells. And you walk in, it's like, oh, it's Christmas. Oh, it's Christmas. I love it. Yeah. Fantastic. Go real or go home. But then you are going to be home anyway because that's where the tree is. Go home to a real Christmas tree. Is that a saying? It could be. Thanks for your questions, Travis. I've still got another one that he asked a while ago that I haven't got around to answering yet. I will do. It's all going to happen. But right now, we're doing this. Oh, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day. Well, boys and girls, it's our first segment from Bob Baker. And Robert, you look fantastic.
Why, thanks, Jack. Self-appointed best friend Cav is back. You know, Chris Kavanaugh? Well, he has a virtual Christmas everyday idea that is out of this world. However, you will need some equipment here that is not included with this podcast. He owns one of those Quest 2 virtual reality space helmet 2000 things, and he has a unique application for it. There is an app for YouTube VR that has videos on it that you can use with your helmet to immerse yourself in Christmas. He said that there are some tours around New York City or London or even Disneyland where you can enjoy the festive decorations and the festive crowds as if you're there. He said that you can even find some videos that people have uploaded of their own home movies in VR. This allows you to feel like you're sitting with strangers in their living room watching them open their gifts on Christmas. Yikes! It is both sentimental and creepy at the same time. Now, if you have a computer-generated Christmas idea that you want to share, you simulate it to Jack, and he'll process it for me, and we'll play it on your headset next time.
Do you know what I've got to say? That is actually a lovely idea, but I just don't have any of this newfangled technology stuff. I don't. I've got my TV, I've got my computer, I've got my phone. That's pretty much it for me. So what I would do, instead of having the whole virtual reality headset, is I'd get, like, I'd lay on my back and just get a lot of Christmas cards and just drop them on my face. And then it's like you're immersed in Christmas. It's not quite the same as Cav's idea there, but, you know, it's something, isn't it? At Christmas. Yeah. Bob will be back later on, but right now, you and I, we're going to do this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. So, boys and girls, it's that time of year again where I start getting more people on the show. And this episode, I've got someone special who's going to be here with their answers for the quiz. So we'll get to see how they got on later on. But right now, I'm going to start off by asking you 10 questions. You know the rules. I'll give you 10 questions, you get 10 answers. But today, you get to compete against my guest. Question number one. In 1998, which British businessman was described as the most popular bearded man after Santa Claus? That should be Jesus, really, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it, do you think? British businessman. There you go, kids. I don't even know if that's a Christmas question, really. Just they've mentioned Santa Claus in it. That'll have to do. That'll have to do. Okay, question number two. Which US-American TV series 1997 Christmas episode is called Miracle on Evergreen Terrace? I remember that one. It was a very good episode. Question number three. Which song that has been a top 40 hit a few times, the first time being in 1972, begins, "So this is Christmas and what have you done?" That might not be how he sings that line there, but good luck with that one. Next question. Who played the title role in the 2007 film Fred Claus, who is the older brother of Nick Claus, played by Paul Giamatti, who grows up to be Santa Claus? Yeah, so who played Fred Claus in Fred Claus? That's the question. Pretty easy one, actually. Question something. There are a few different versions of the song The 12 Days of an Aussie Christmas, but in all of them, the tree on the first day is the same. What type of tree is it instead of a pear tree? Now, that's interesting, this is, because when I was 12, I went on holiday to Australia with my parents and my brothers, and we travelled quite a long way, actually, over 1,000 miles, spread out over a couple of weeks. And we'd be sat in this camper van, because that's what we were travelling in. We'd be sat in this camper van, like, trying to keep ourselves occupied. And I invented a version of the 12 Days of Christmas. And each of those 12 days involved a different type of animal that you'd find in Australia. And I can't remember what tree I said. And I think it was a koala in a something tree, but I could be wrong. Yeah, but I didn't sing on the 12 Days of Christmas. I sung on the 12 Days of Holiday. Because we were on holiday, you see. Anyway, that is completely by the by. Just give me the answer. Next one. Oh, another easy one. What is the name of Scrooge's nephew in the novel A Christmas Carol? What's his name? You know it. Tell me it. Next one. Who had the 1978 Christmas number one single with the song Mary's Boy Child / Oh My Lord? Yeah. So that Mary's Boy Child was originally by Harry Belafonte. It was actually a Christmas number one for Harry Belafonte and this band. And then this one is like a mashup where it goes, "Oh my Lord, you sent your son to save us all." That will do. Okay, next one. What was the name of the week-long Roman festival in December that influenced how Christmas came to be celebrated? What was the name of that festival? Okay, okay. Question, oh, we're up to number nine now. God, we flew through these, didn't I? Yes, I did. The 1892 short story, The Adventure of the Blue Carbuncle, is the only story set at Christmas time featuring which famous literary character? Okay, do you know what a carbuncle is? Yeah, I looked it up, right? It is a cluster of boils under the skin, often found on the neck or on the back. Yeah, it's not nice, is it? An adventure of a blue one of those. Ugh, dirty. Okay, and the final question. What sauce is the traditional accompaniment to roast turkey? That's another easy one, isn't it? Really easy. Don't complain. Okay, so yeah, that's your 10 questions. Now, let's get on with the answers. Okay, boys and girls, now it's time for the answers, and I have my dear friend, Ed Daly, on again. He was either in the last episode or the next episode. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to play these clips, and he's going to give us all 10 answers to these very simple questions. Question number one, Ed. In 1998, which British businessman was described as the most popular bearded man after Santa Claus?
Richard Branson.
Oh, well done. Do you know what? I wasn't sure if how well he travelled over this. I remember him being in an episode of Baywatch. Would you believe he was actually water skiing off the back of a hot air balloon? Yeah,
there was a lot of ballooning with him. I feel like
it was. He was trying to be the first person to. Well, I don't know if it's the first, but to cross the Atlantic in a hot air balloon. Yeah,
and I studied in London in '96, and we were getting bombarded with Virgin Cola. I flew Virgin Airlines. There was a lot of Richard Branson related promotions going on then.
Yeah,
so
the '90s was his heyday. If you hadn't been to the UK, do you think you would have known who it was?
I think he made a big enough deal of himself that I probably would have known him. He's one of like the five big businessmen in the world over the last few decades.
Yeah, and I suppose the British businessman probably, the biggest, yeah. Okay, so if you didn't get it, boys and girls, you should have. I don't care what country you're in. Question number two. Which US-American TV series 1997 Christmas episode is called Miracle on Evergreen Terrace? That's an easy one, isn't it?
Yes, The Simpsons.
Well done. Which song that's been a top 40 hit a few times, the first time being in 1972, begins, "So this is Christmas, and what have you done?"
I may get this wrong because I know the title is a little bit. Is it called War is Over, Happy Christmas? Or there's a parenthesis in this one, the John Lennon song.
You want a point for that, do you? The John Lennon song.
I deserve a point for
it's
that.
It's actually Happy Christmas, War is Over is in parentheses or brackets.
Okay,
so you can have the point on that one. You can have the point.
Thank you.
Who played the title role in the 2007 film Fred Claus, who is the older brother of Nick Claus, played by Paul Giamatti, who grew up to be Santa Claus?
Vince Vaughn.
Easy one again. Well done. Next one. There are a few different versions of the song The 12 Days of an Aussie Christmas, but in all of them, the tree on the first day is the same. What type of tree is it instead of a pear tree?
I know this isn't right, but I was trying to think. Kiwi? I know it's close to New Zealand, sort of. What could it be?
I just got to say, you were doing so well, Ed, and they've just made a complete dick of yourself.
I know that kiwi is New Zealand.
Could you describe to me what a kiwi tree is? Or you thought kiwi was going to be in the tree? I want to know what type of tree it is, not what bird was in it.
I was trying to think of like
and they're ground dwelling.
And
kiwis are ground dwelling.
A what tree?
You wouldn't even get a kiwi. What?
What is the answer?
You say palm tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. If you said eucalyptus tree, I will give you half a point, kids. If you said gum tree, you get the whole point. I won't lie to you.
If you say eucalyptus tree, that's the most clunky line of all time.
I know, that's why they say a gum tree, isn't it, Edward?
I've never heard of a gum tree.
It scans. You've never heard of a gum tree?
No.
Up a gum tree?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. A gum tree is a eucalyptus tree. So gum is slang for eucalyptus tree.
Gotcha.
Well, we're all learning today, kids. Next one. What is the name of Scrooge's nephew in the novel A Christmas Carol?
Fred.
Yes. Well done. Hey, do you know what? He's had a different name in other versions of A Christmas Carol, like proper where they've had Scrooge, like set in Scrooge's time. But yeah, in the book, it is Fred. Well done. Who had the 1978 Christmas number one single with the song Mary's Boy Child / Oh My Lord?
So, I have no idea. I was trying to think who was popular in 1978, and I just guessed Donna Summer, but it's not going to be her.
Well, it was actually Boney M. You've never heard of Boney M?
No.
But Boney M, I don't think it anymore, but back, say, at least up until the late 90s, Boney M had two singles in the UK top 10 best-selling singles of all time, and this was one of them, Mary's Boy Child.
Wow.
Boney M sung Brown girl in the ring, fa la 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 la. No? By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down.
Do you know that.
I think both of those bits I just sung were the same song. It's like another one where they had two songs mashed into one.
But I think the song you were, that the question was, that might have appeared in the Office Christmas special when Keith is the DJ and he's playing songs in the background of that.
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, it's a really upbeat version of it. It was actually a Christmas number one for Harry Belafonte many years before that as well.
Wow.
Well, you didn't get either of those, did you, Edward? Okay, no. Next one. What is the name of the week-long Roman festival in December that influenced how Christmas came to be celebrated?
Saturnalia.
Yes, well done. Good work. And I know you got the next one because you wrote it down really quickly. I changed this slightly, kids, just to make it a little bit trickier for you. The 1892 short story, The Adventure of the Blue Carbuncle, is the only story set at Christmas time featuring which famous literary character? It actually says which famous detective, but I thought if I said detective, you'd all get it. Too easy. Who was it, Ed?
Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. Well done. And the last one. Oh, another easy one. Oh, this isn't good. I can't mock you for this. Getting all these questions right. I'm just trying to make a fool of you, Ed.
I wasn't as confident as this as I was about Saturnalia and Sherlock Holmes. So.
What about the sauce? What sauce is a traditional accompaniment to roast turkey?
Cranberry, right?
Well, what were you worried it might be?
I don't know.
Are you thinking because it's a UK book? Because the question's in the UK?
Yeah, I've participated in some quizzes at pubs and I have no clue. Sometimes it takes a direction that I didn't understand it would, so I never feel confident taking a UK
based cranberry course. It is, but I tell you what, cranberry's not that popular in the UK. I say not that popular, not as popular as in other countries. We do have cranberry sauce. My mum will buy a jar each year because it only gets used at Christmas, and then they won't use it on chicken, and we don't have turkey that often anyway, so then she has to buy a new jar the next year. We also have bread sauce as well, but not everyone has bread sauce. Have you ever had bread sauce?
I'm not familiar with bread sauce.
Imagine liquid bread. Actually, that is what it is. I'm not kidding. Get bread, you whisk it up, well, chuck it in the blender, add a bit of milk, maybe a little bit of chopped onion, only a tiny bit, and then...
So it's like a cream sauce?
No, it's bread. It's bread. It is like liquid bread. I'm not kidding. It is liquid bread that you pour. It's nice. What would always be funny is we'd have our roast dinner and like we'd all have a bit of bread sauce, and then my dad would like be sat there waiting, and then after everyone had theirs, he'd just pour what was left on his, and he used to get annoyed if people had too much, so he didn't have enough. He always wanted the most bread sauce. He likes it. My dad likes his bread sauce, mate.
Okay. It sounds good. I've just never had it.
What, liquid bread?
Yeah. I've never had liquid bread, but I like bread, so...
Do you have turkey for Christmas dinner?
I do, and next Thursday is the big turkey day in America.
Oh, yes.
Thanksgiving.
Get yourself on some recipe site, type in bread sauce, maybe have it with your turkey this year.
I'll give it a shot.
Why not? If you do, drop me an email.
I'll let you know.
Okay, how many did you score?
I think I got 7 or 8. I got the Australia one wrong and just the 1978 song wrong.
You got 8 out of 10. That's pretty good, actually. I think that might be the highest score that I've had from a guest, actually.
Well, I wrote a book about Christmas.
That's a good point. Yeah, but most of the people I have on know a lot about Christmas. There's normally people on other Christmas podcasts. They come on and embarrass themselves. But you haven't. You've acquitted yourself well. I would have scored 9.5. I would have said eucalyptus tree instead of gum tree. But obviously, gum scans better than eucalyptus. Liptus. So, Ed, do you want to tell everyone about your book?
My book is called The Christmas Book, The Ultimate Guide to Your Favorite Holiday. It is available on Amazon. It is the book. If you're listening to this podcast, then you should get my book because it tries to celebrate the holiday the same way your podcast does. It tackles lots of different things from different cultures around the world, different traditions, different versions of a Christmas carol, television shows, movies, songs. And it tries to celebrate all of it and hopefully give some new suggestions for things you might not have known. It's a guidebook, little brief tidbits about your favorite songs and movies and stuff like that.
Is it as good as Thursday Night's Alright by Jack Andrews?
It's pretty good. I can't say it's that good.
I bet it hasn't got as much swearing in.
No, it's going to take you for a fun ride just like Jack's book.
You haven't read my book. Don't give me that.
I got it.
You got it, but you haven't read it.
I got, I got it, but
you spent the $3, but you couldn't.
I
you
spent
couldn't
the $3
get past the first
already.
Page of my awful, childish. Oh dear.
No, this is an indictment of my reading. I intended to read it. I've read nothing. I've read nothing in like a year. I think I bought it a year ago, and I've read zero books since then.
Well, can
and
you at least give me the review?
I'm trying
on
to
Amazon.
Promote a book, and I don't read.
Give me a 5-star review on Amazon anyway. I don't think I've given you a review, actually. I bought Ed's book. He emailed me about it. I bought a copy that day. I read it like within a week, not like 5 days, I think. I just flew through it because it's so easy to read. It's in tiny little vignettes at each bit where it talks about traditions or it talks about Christmas in different countries and all the different versions of A Christmas Carol. There's like 100 different versions on there or more than I've covered on the show. It's fantastic. Highly recommended if you like Christmas. And if you like Christmas, well, then that's, you must do because you're listening to this show. Yeah, I really liked it. It's The Christmas Book by Ed Daly. I know there's more than one book out there called The Christmas Book. So yeah, make sure you put the Ed Daly bit in there. Thanks for coming on, Ed. And well done.
Thanks for having me.
8 out of 10. You don't win any prizes apart from the glory. And you can tell all your friends that you scored 8 out of 10 on some sad Christmas podcast.
Oh, I can't wait to tell my sons. I'm gonna get them. I'm going to shake them and tell them. You don't realize what your father has done today.
What he's achieved. Thanks for coming on, Ed.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jack.
Here it is, boys and girls. Yes, the highlight of the episode is a fantastic joke. Are you ready? Here it comes. Wrap your ears around this beauty. What do you get if you cross a Christmas tree with an iPad? A pineapple. Yep. Oh. I hope that hasn't ruined Christmas for you, kids. I sincerely hope.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
When people ask me why they can't bring their children to the tiki bar, I have to tell them. We make babies here, not serve them. I know that Christmas cards are less of a thing today. You might get some photo ones or a random Christmas letter, but the concept of receiving a card by snail mail seems outdated. And I'm not sure that email killed it though, because I don't get many e-cards either. Maybe it was texting or WhatsApp that did it. I also am not one to complain, as I am a prime offender. We don't send cards anymore. When our kids were small, we would do some elaborate topical cards that were funny and would rile up the relatives. Like three kings with Madonna and child and a pic of my three little ones dressed like Elvis, photoshopped into a scene with the singer Madonna holding a baby. That one nearly got me kicked out of my wife's family. Anyway, we still get a few cards, some religious ones from old aunts, and others from realtors or insurance brokers. I did get one last season from my nephew, who lives in the UK, and it sent up my "Do you hear what I hear?" signal. It read, "Have a corker of a Christmas." Now, what kind of a Christmas is a corker? The only way we use the term cork in the States is for a stopper in a wine bottle. However, when something is described as a corker in the UK, it suggests something impressive. The origin of the British word corker is a bit hazy, but it does seem to relate to the same word cork that we use in the US. While the exact origin is uncertain, it is believed to have originated in the 19th century. In a dictionary of Sussex from 1840, there is the statement, "I have given him a corker. I have silenced him. I have closed up his mouth as effectively as a cork does a bottle." So, corker in the 1800s meant something that settled a debate. It was a point or a fact so good that it allowed for no more discussion. It was like the saying to put a cork in it. It ended the argument. Now, once you start with the original definition, you can see how it began to be used in other ways. Over time, the meaning changed so Corker came to describe something great or remarkable. Corker is now an informal term used in England. It is playful, and it adds a touch of enthusiasm when you want to convey that something is really good or excellent. The term corker is versatile. It can be used to describe a wide range of things, like an event, a joke, or even an attractive person's appearance. I could say more, but Jack has better ideas. So let me just say, though, it's been an absolute corker. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Well, thanks so much for that one, Bob. Do you know what's interesting? Because I don't think that's a term I've ever actually used myself. I don't think I have. I may have. I don't think I have. Yeah, it might be like it's a regional thing. So maybe up north they use it a lot more. I've heard it. You know, I've heard people use it. I've heard it on TV and that. But yeah, myself, I don't think I've used it. But great segment, Bob. That was a real corker. Hey, see what I did there? I used it. Yeah. Yeah, what do you think? Any good? Yeah, you loved it. So did I. So thanks to Bob. If you're not listening to Bob's podcast, then you better. You better do it. His podcast is The Festive Foreign Film Fans, and he and his mate Mark, they talk about festive foreign films. And that's it. And it's really good. I've listened to every episode, and I advise you to do the same thing. Now it's time for this.
I'm singing. I'm in a store, and I'm singing. I'm in a store, and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Boys and girls, I've got a real treat for you now. This is the fourth year we've done this, and what it is I play songs that are classic Christmas songs in the UK, and I play them to my US correspondent, Scott Newman, and he has a listen to them and lets me know if he's heard them before or not. It's really simple. And this episode, we've got his co-host on Tinsel Tunes. He's on as well to tell me if he's heard them. So it's not just if these songs are popular in the US, it's also if they're popular in New Zealand as well. So let's get on with the segment. So, boys and girls, this is the fourth year we've done this. Every year, I've had my US correspondent, Scott Newman, coming on the show. I play him a number of Christmas songs that are big in the UK, and he tells us if he's heard of them in the States. Now, last year it was just Scott. The year before, it was Scott and his co-host on Jingle Jank, Jay. This year, I've got him and his co-host from Tinsel Tunes. I've got Dwayne Bailey as well. So we get the perspective of a gentleman from New Zealand to see if he is familiar with these tunes. Now, I'm kind of optimistic about this, Dwayne, because I've got a feeling that the music from the UK has crossed over to New Zealand better than perhaps to the States.
Yes, I think we closely align more with England than we do with the United States and a lot of things. So, yeah, I'm quite keen to hear what you've got.
Do you know what? I've actually spent, is it two Christmases in New Zealand? One Christmas in New Zealand. Yeah, I spent one Christmas in New Zealand. I can't remember hearing much British music, so I can't remember. I remember I had a nice time, though. It was a wonderful country. Scott, you going to say hello?
Yep. My track record speaks for itself. I'm piss poor at getting these.
Yeah, really bad. Oh, see that. Yeah, I didn't hear you swearing on Tinsel Tunes, and then you come on here, and you know it's okay to say words like piss. And shit, you can get away with that as well, kids.
Tinsel Tunes is like a nice restaurant. You got to use decorum there. But when we come to your place, now I can throw peanut shells on the floor.
Feet on the couch.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sitting in my underwear on your couch right now.
Nice. Now, I've got to say, kids, it did cost me a lot to fly both of these two guys over to come and sit in my living room to record this. So please, if you're going to swear, at least try and keep it classy swearing. So I'll accept piss and shit. None of the other two really bad ones.
All right.
Right, Scott has got the tunes. He's going to play the first one for us, Scott. Let's have a listen to this. Dwayne?
Well, I've never heard that song, but instantly I knew that was Jethro Tull. I absolutely love Jethro Tull's music. I didn't, though, didn't realize they did a Christmas song, and that one is going on playlist because I really like it.
I was going to joke that it was Jethro Tull, because every song with a flute in it to me is Jethro Tull.
Straight away.
Well, there we go. Good for you. Good for knowing who it was.
Yeah, I suppose being a bit of a fan, I can pick his style out a mile away. So
there you go. Yeah.
Well, the track record is maintained. I do not like any Jethro Tull songs, so nothing changed.
Yeah, so no, I haven't heard the song down here at all, but I'm just familiar with the artist, so I get half a point.
You do get half a point. Scott, you get nothing.
Nothing, zero.
Yeah, that is Solstice Bells, Ring Out, Solstice Bells, by Jethro Tull. You hear it on the radio, you won't hear it massively, you know, but it's sort of maybe a third tier Christmas song, but I don't think there's been a Christmas that's gone by where I haven't heard it somewhere.
That's generous, calling it a third tier.
Ooh.
Well, it's not how people feel about it. I'm talking about how much airplay it gets. But it gets the airplay every year. Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of it. I've never, you know, but then, because it's a Christmas song, I do like it. Because when I hear it, I think, oh, yeah, Christmas. Yeah, big song over, well, I say big song. It'll be on most compilation albums you get over here. But so, Scott, I'm surprised neither of you, but there we go. Okay. Nope. But you've heard of Jethro Tull. Okay, you're going to play the next one for us, Scott?
Yep, here we go.
Christmas night, another fight, tears we cried, a flood, got all kinds of poison in, of poison in my blood. I took my feet to Oxford Street, trying to right a wrong, just walk away, those windows say, but I can't believe she's gone. You're still waiting for the snow to fall. Doesn't really feel like Christmas at all.
That was Christmas Lights by Coldplay.
Oh, well done. 2 points.
Now, I didn't think that was a British song.
Well, where'd you think Coldplay are from?
I thought, like all good bands, they came from the U.S. I don't know. I never knew that before.
Goodness gracious, Scott.
No, I wasn't aware that they were a British band. Yeah, I like that.
Are you honestly joking me, Scotland?
No, I'm being completely serious. I did not know they were British.
You thought Coldplay? Have you heard him speak? Have you seen the man? A pasty English bloke?
I guess he sounds a bit like he's from English Manchester kid. Or something like that, but I don't know. I never put the two together.
Well, now you've said, I don't even know where he's from. Now you've said that. Dwayne, how about in New Zealand? Are they loving that song?
Yeah.
You knew it as well?
Yeah, heard that one a lot. I don't listen to the radio on a day-to-day basis. I'm more Spotify and what have you. But when we go shopping at Christmas time, it is in all the stores. Very familiar with that one.
This gets a lot of airplay here in the US.
It does.
Oh, yeah. Very much.
That's one of a handful of songs that have made it.
Past the gatekeepers.
You know, I don't really love the song, though, Jack. It's kind of a downer.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
I've always been more into Christmas songs that are happy and jovial and, you know, here comes Santa's on the roof and there's a snowman and all that kind of stuff. I don't turn the song off if it's on, and I really like the chorus. I think it's great. But overall, the song is kind of meh to me, and I love his voice.
Yeah, see, that's one of like a handful of songs that have actually become popular since 2000 in the UK. There's not that many, really, that have become classics, but that one does get the airplay every year. I'm not a big Coldplay fan, and it is a bit slow, but again, it's one of those songs, because I hear it every Christmas, when I hear it, I feel good. I feel like it's Christmas. So yep. I'm going to like it, if that makes sense. Yep.
So 2 points for all of us.
Okay.
Yep. And we battled that song on Christmas morning very early this year. I don't remember when it was, but you can go to christmasmorningpodcast.com/songs and see the three versions that we brought from Bandcamp of this song.
And you still thought that they were an American band?
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Yep. No, that's fine.
Okay.
All right. You ready for the next one?
Yeah. Let's see the next one.
Say it's the final kiss. you stay another
day. So, have we heard of this song?
No.
Scott?
No, and since I didn't like it, so my first guess usually when I don't like a British song is that it's Cliff Richards, but I don't think it actually was.
You'd never heard it, Dwayne?
No, and is that like a boy group but not one of the bigger ones?
Well, they were the second biggest boy band in the UK of the 90s, I'd say, and apparently their sales in Europe were actually higher than the biggest boy band. I guess you guys might have heard of Take That. Have you heard of Take That? You've heard of Take That,
mate. Yeah.
They were our biggest boy band. And then the second place was like this bit more rough and ready band called E17. That was E17 with Stay Another Day. That song came out in 1994. It was number one for like 5 weeks, and it was the Christmas number one. And it's not a Christmas song. It's a Christmas adjacent song. So at no point do they mention Christmas. But they recorded the video, and it was like the four of them dancing around in like these big parka sort of jackets with a big Eskimo hood, and they watched the video, and it was a huge success. But then they were like, we looked like idiots in that video, and they re-recorded it where they were just wearing more street clothes with the four of them stood around a piano. E17 were massive, but that was their biggest hit. I could name some of the others, but clearly if you haven't heard of E17, you wouldn't know.
No,
I've never heard of E17 before, or the Bloomin' Banger Flippers or whatever they were called. That's brand new to me.
There was four guys, and there was like the main singer, there was the main songwriter who also did a bit of singing. And then you had the other two guys that sort of stood around in the background and did the occasional harmony. And E17 is still going, but it's a three-piece band, and it's only one guy that was one of the two backing guys whose name no one would remember. And they sort of play very, very small gigs. And I don't know who does the singing now, but yeah, they're still kicking around. I'm disappointed in both of you for saying you don't know that song, because I know for a fact that I have played it on my show. So shame again on the two of you.
I might have skipped that part of your podcast.
Yeah, that's what that forward 30 seconds button is for.
Do you know what? It's funny though, because I love that song. And again, I don't think it's just because it's Christmas, because I remember when it came out in 94. I remember how old I was. It was just a lovely, lovely slow song. Their songs were more upbeat normally, a bit of rap in them and stuff. As boy bands go, they were a bit, like I said, a bit more rough and ready. But this song came out, and for them, it was like they sort of slowed things down a bit. And it was a massive, massive song. Still gets huge airplay. That is a top tier song in the UK. You would be hard pressed not to hear that at some point in the UK if you're walking around in shopping centres and that sort of thing.
I mean, back in the 90s, I wasn't listening to any boy bands at all.
What? Well, you wasted a decade when you could have been listening to boy bands, Dwayne.
No, I was listening to alternative rock. I was listening to grunge, you know.
Yeah, 1994, I was listening to Van Halen and Metallica and Megadeth.
New Kids on the Block, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC.
Well, Backstreet Boys have been a guilty pleasure of mine anyway, but anybody else I would have heard of but not taken interest in their music.
Okay.
Just because I wasn't into it back then. But now it's different. A lot of that stuff I go back and listen to and I go, oh, this is actually quite good.
Yeah, I guess the downside about this one is it just has no reference to Christmas in it at all. Mm. Yeah, shame. But anyway, in the UK, massive Christmas song. Right, let's hear the next one, Scott.
All right.
The nights are colder now. Maybe I should close the door. And anyway, the snow has covered all your footsteps, and I can follow you no more. The fire still burns at night. My memories are warm and but everybody knows it's hard to be alone at this time of year.
Through my brilliant powers of deduction, I'm going to guess the name of the song was A Winter's Tale.
Oh, 1 point.
But who sang it? I couldn't tell you.
Tell him, Dwayne.
No.
What?
Never heard it. I tell you what, they sounded a lot like Pretty Paper, you know, the other Christmas song.
Boy Orbison.
Yeah, at some point it sort of sounded like it was about, he was about to go Pretty Paper, but he didn't.
I would rather hear that song. That's a good song, Dwayne.
Yeah.
The hard part about being the fourth year that we're doing this is we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
not quite. As you say this, but this is another song that's really popular in the UK. Maybe not like top tier, definitely second tier, this one. And can I just say, double shame on both of you, because my first ever episode was called A Winter's Tale. And can I tell you the song I was talking about in that episode? Yep. It was A Winter's Tale.
You mean your very first episode of the podcast that had no listeners?
Yeah.
No listeners. Well, now it's had like 7 downloads. So there you go. David Essex. Have you heard of David Essex, Dwayne?
No.
No? Scott, I thought you might not have, Scott, but no. I was hoping that he might have passed over. He was a bit of a teenage heartthrob in the 70s. He did a bit of movie acting. He was in EastEnders, our most popular soap opera here in the UK. And he also was in the stage version of Evita when it first came out. He played Che Guevara. He had a big hit with Oh, What a Circus. You know that song from Evita? Oh, what a circus, oh, what a show.
No, we are so uncultured.
No.
Yeah, I'm looking up David Essex right now, and he is far from a teenage heartthrob at this point.
Well, now, what were you talking about? I said in the 70s, Scotland. Pay attention.
Yeah, well, he's 76 years old. He wasn't a teenager in the 70s, Mr. Math.
No, but he was a teenage heartthrob. What? Do the maths on it. Let me do the maths on it. What's 70, 50? 50 years ago? Early 70s. Let's go. Try again. Okay, maybe not 60s. Not the teenagers liked him, let's put it that way.
Okay
Well, he was with loads of big hits. He had a top 5 hit in the US with Rock On, which, unless I sung it, well, even I can't sing it.
Okay, so I pulled up the Google image search, and yeah, it looks like way back in the day, he had the big poofy hair, and I can see how he would be a teenage heartthrob. Not much anymore.
But don't give him a hard time. He's not a young man anymore, Scott. None of us are.
He's more popular than I'm ever going to be, so good for him.
Well, he's still...
But no, I never heard the song. I didn't think it was that great.
Triple shame on you, Scotland.
I've probably heard his stuff, but I don't recall that song at all. But maybe I've heard one or two of his others if I had a listen.
Well, go and listen to episode 1 of my show and I'll tell you all about it. Do you know what? This is the thing. I remember him being on Top of the Pops. You might not have heard of Top of the Pops. That used to be.
No, no.
It was like the biggest pop show in the UK by a long way. That can make or break a single. And I swear to God that he was stood on stage with a cup of cocoa singing the song. And I've searched for that clip everywhere and I've never found it. I've seen clips of him performing on Top of the Pops, but not holding a cup of cocoa singing the song. So maybe I imagined that. But I love that song. I've always loved it. And it's a popular song in the UK. But clearly you two have never heard of it. So yeah, that's a shame.
No.
Yeah.
Even if I had, it's a bit slow for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind that though. I like, because you've got two types of songs for Christmas, I think. You've got the ones that you have at a party, a bit lively and get the Christmas spirit going.
Good and then songs, you've
also got, yeah, okay. Thanks for interrupting me and ruining everything. And then you've also got the ones that you just sit and have in the background while you're like, you know, got the Yule log on TV. You know how much I like a Yule log. Yeah. And then this is one that I just think is lovely in the background. It's just a nice mellow song. Yeah, huge fan of it. We've discussed this before. I've discussed it on my show. If I talk about a song, I talk about a song that's not a massive classic. And this one doesn't get the airplay it used to, but it still does get a bit. And it's a song that I really like. And I think it's a shame it hasn't made it overseas. But there you go. Right, let's play the next one.
All right. Okay, I know this one.
Go on then.
It's Thank God It's Christmas by Queen.
Oh, is that because you think Queen's an American band?
No, I know they're a British band.
Oh, okay. Well done then. 2 points. Congratulations.
Brian May is about as British as they come, right?
Ah, yes.
But did you know that he does not play guitar on the song?
No.
What?
Yeah, there's no guitar in there.
Oh, I suppose there's not, is there?
So quite a few months ago, I was mowing my lawns, listening to another podcast called Strong Song.
What?
Yeah, another one. Because yours had finished.
Yeah.
No. Because it was short.
Dwayne. If you are going to mow those lawns, you do it listening to me or you don't do it at all.
But it's a good podcast.
Those are the rules.
It's a good one.
What was it?
They're called Strong Songs.
That sucks. Yeah,
no, it's good.
It sucks.
Oh, Strong Songs. Sucks. Yeah, with Kirk.
Yeah. He was doing a Queen song.
That's a good podcast right there. We should be listening to that right now, Dwayne.
I know. Let's go. Yeah, let's go.
See if we'll have you on there, boys. See if we'll have you on there. Good luck with that.
We're slumming it over here.
So he was doing Bohemian Rhapsody and he happened to mention... A few of Queen's songs do not have Brian May playing guitar in them.
Hmm.
And of course, he's known as a guitarist. He's he's a really good guitarist. So now whenever I listen to a Queen song, it's like, I can't hear a guitar. So he wrote the song or co-wrote the song, but he, at this point, without actually researching the song, it sounds like he doesn't play guitar on it at all because you just can't hear one.
So what's he doing? Is he like out at the chicken stand getting a sandwich while they're all in the studio doing this?
I don't know. He might be doing keyboards or something perhaps. But he's one of the best, you know, some people class him as a world-class guitarist. He's not playing one. So
there you go. That's impressive. Coming on there, telling me these facts.
Yeah.
So is it a popular song over in...
Yep. I always go on about, say, the top five Christmas songs that we hear on the radio that are vintage, so to speak. This is one of them. So it's played...
No.
Yeah, it's played ad nauseum every year on the radio.
Dwayne, if you had to sit down and list the top five songs, before we just played it then, that's one of the top five you would have listed, you reckon?
Yep, so there's that one. There's Bing Crosby and David Bowie. There's Mariah Carey, of course.
David Bowie's British.
Yeah. Paul McCartney, Wham, and John Lennon. That would be, that's more than five. But that would be the crux of what we hear every year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard it played in the U.S.
How'd you know it then, Scott?
I think I've heard it on a Spotify playlist or something, and you can tell when a song is a Queen song.
Oh, yes. Yes, you can.
It's not through repetition. I don't think I've ever heard it on the radio.
Oh, wow. So this one also, I would say, is like a third-tier song in the U.K. It gets airplay, but not to the same extent as, definitely not as much as the E17 song I played for you earlier. There's another, I thought they had another... Christmas one as well, Winter's Tale or something. No, not Winter's Tale. That was
that song we just played.
That was one I just played.
Tripe.
Maybe it's called Winter Song, I don't know. But anyway, it gets the play, but it doesn't get as much as the others. But those are our six songs, and you've actually acquitted yourself fairly well this time, Scott.
Well, I got 2 out of 6, so that's pretty much my standard, isn't it?
Is it? I thought it was normally 0 or 1.
No. Here's the thing, though, Jack. I've actually been studying British culture. In preparation to come on your show every year.
Yep.
Yeah, we talked about that. I watched all those Peppa Pig episodes, got really familiar with that.
Drink a cup of tea in the morning.
And I've been meaning to tell you about a book that I read this year. This is probably one of the first book reviews for the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm really classing up the joint here.
I do have a book review section. Please tell me it's Thursday Night's All Right by Jack Andrews.
No, that's probably one of the greatest books I've ever read in my life.
Damn right.
Now, this book is called Do They Know It's Christmas Yet? And it's by James Crooks. And it's a time travel story, and it all takes place in the UK. And this brother and sister, they go back in time to the 80s, and they accidentally cause a traffic accident. And Bob Geldof is in that traffic accident, and he ends up in the hospital and doesn't see the TV special with the Ethiopia famine. So the song, Do They Know It's Christmas, never gets written. And they have to go through this whole thing to get him to see it because they don't want to be responsible for millions of people dying of starvation.
Yeah. It's a good book, is it?
There are three of them. I read all three and they're fantastic. And that's where I heard of Top of the Pops and all that other kind of stuff. It is full of British culture. So I'm really highfalutin and high class now.
Yeah, and like you said, you've read Thursday Night's All Right by Jack Andrews, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. You should definitely check that book out as well at your local bookseller.
It's only on Amazon. Well, it's only for Kindle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks for having us, Jack. 4 years in a row now. I don't know what you're going to pull out for the fifth year.
I've got nothing.
Yeah, these were some. this was tough. This was tough sledding here.
That's about the same. I've always tried to have a decent mix because these ones I had prepared last year. I had 12 songs left and I split them half last year, half this year. And sadly, I don't think I've got any more ones that are massive classics in the UK. We must have got through the best part of 20 songs, no, over 20 songs then.
Yeah, we do about six a year. So that's 6 times 4, 24.
I think one year we did 8. I don't know. You should know. You're the one that listens to my show. I don't listen to it. I just shout into a microphone, throw it on the internet, and try and forget about it.
Well, when you run out of British songs, you seem to have a strong Australian contingent. Maybe they can bring us some songs and see if we've ever heard of them.
I've done that as well. Yeah. I've done 2 episodes on classic Australian songs. And I think you guys did as well, didn't you? You did something about... Was that... No, I remember you playing it on Jingle Jank.
We did a Warm Weather Christmas Songs episode a long time ago, but I was looking for obscure stuff that maybe I've never heard. I don't know. You could tell me you've done a lot of stuff on your show that I don't remember. So,
well, listen to it again then, Scotland.
All right. I'll go back and listen to the whole catalog.
Damn right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Plug your show.
So we'll do Tinsel Tunes. Yeah. Obviously, we're the co-host of Tinsel Tunes. You can find us at tinseltunes.com. Send us an email on tinseltunespodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on all your podcast programs except for Stitcher because it no longer exists.
Yeah, and our tagline is the Christmas music podcast. And Dwayne, you may not know this. That was actually suggested by Jack because I sent him a graphic when I took over the show when you're doing your stuff. And I had a Christmas music podcast. And he said, no. You should call it the Christmas music podcast. And chef's kiss. What a great idea that was.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So we go into the history of pretty popular Christmas songs. Although lately we've been doing a few obscure ones. I think we just kind of like to shake it up and do different stuff, but we're getting into our Super Bowl months here where we're playing the carols. They're really, I hesitate to call it important songs, but the ones that absolutely everybody would know. And then in the off months, we just try to keep it fun and light, and we've been playing some weird stuff and it's been a lot of fun. So check it out, tinseltunes.com.
I listen every episode and I recommend listeners that you do too. Thank you so much for coming on, boys. It's been fantastic. I'll think of something for next year. It might not be British Christmas music, but it will definitely be something.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
So, boys and girls, in the last episode, I gave away some books that I was sent from Biblioasis. And these books are part of the series of Seth's Christmas ghost stories. Now, I want to read out to you the blurb that it says on the inside cover, because I think this sums up perfectly exactly what these books are about. It says, "The telling or reading of ghost stories during long, dark and cold Christmas nights is a Yuletide ritual dating back to at least the 18th century and was once as much a part of Christmas tradition as decorating fir trees, feasting on goose and the singing of carols. During the Victorian era, many magazines printed ghost stories specifically for the Christmas series. These winter tales didn't necessarily explore Christmas themes, rather they were offered as an eerie pleasure to be enjoyed on Christmas Eve with the family, adding a supernatural shiver to the seasonal chill. The tradition remained strong in the British Isles and her colonies throughout much of the 20th century, though in recent years it's been on the wane. Certainly few people in Canada or the United States seem to know about it any longer. This series of small books looks to rectify this, to revive a charming custom for the long dark nights we all know so well here at Christmas time." Yeah, so that's pretty much it, really. These little books, they're all short Christmas stories, all from Victorian times, and they've been illustrated by the artist Seth. I gave away 3 in the last episode, and I'm giving away the latest 3 that were released this year in this episode. So, I'm going to read out what the 3 books are. The first one is The House by the Poppy Field by Marjorie Bowen, and it says, "After having lived a largely solitary life, Maitland returns to his ancestral estate and soon finds himself increasingly obsessed with the magnificent field of poppies surrounding the home, as well as with the man who harvests them." The next one is A Room in a Rectory by Andrew Caldecott. "Reverend Nigel arrives at Tilchington Rectory, expecting a comfortable living in the beautiful countryside. But when he stubbornly opens a locked chamber, it isn't long before he's plagued with disturbingly devilish visions." Ooh. And the last one is called The Captain of the Polestar, and this was written by Arthur Conan Doyle. Yeah, the guy who wrote all the Sherlock Holmes books. It says, When the Pole Star, that's a boat, when the Pole Star is trapped in Arctic ice, its voyage comes to a halt, and the lives of the crew are in danger. Superstition soon takes hold as the frightened men claim to hear ghosts in the darkness, but it's the captain's increasingly strange behaviour that concerns the Doctor most. There we go. Those are the three books. If you want to get hold of them, just go to the Biblioasis website. They'll be on there. But if you want them for free, all you've got to do is send me an email or a message through Facebook or go on the website and fill in the contact form. And what you've got to do is send me the following four words. And they are, yeah, I'll have them. Pretty straightforward. The winner of the last ones was Katie Gibson. Congratulations, Katie. I'm going to put her name straight into this one. Also, Tony Dixon was the other name I had. Tony, I'm putting your name straight in as well. I had a late person email me about wanting to get involved. I've forgotten her name, but she's going to get her name straight in. And also, my listener, Henrik, who I haven't heard from for a while, but it was nice to hear from him. He's mentioned that he thought there'd be loads of people going in for the books, and then he realised that only two people did, and he's like, well, I'm having a go. So I've got four names already. If you want to get involved, please do. All you got to do is contact me and say, yeah, I'll have them. I'm not asking for any preamble or any postamble. I don't even care about ambles, to be honest. All you got to do is say, yeah, I'll have them, and possibly you'll have them. So send that through. You've got a week from the day this is released till the week after. So 7 days after this is released. So I'm going to put the names in a hat and I'm going to get one of my girls to pick a name out. That person will receive these three books. And also, you get a little badge that says on it, Seth's Christmas Ghost Stories. Yeah, which you can wear with pride or not. That's your choice. But I think you'll enjoy the books. So send that through. Yeah, I'll have them. And next week, we'll find out who's gonna have them. Now, let's do this. Boys and girls, I've had so much input from people into this episode. I feel like that should be this episode's recommendation. So I'm going to recommend that you go and listen to Festive Foreign Film Fans with my dear friend Bob Baker. I also recommend that you listen to Tinsel Tunes with Scott and Dwayne, and also Christmas Morning Podcast with Scott. And of course, go out and buy a copy of Ed Daly's book, The Christmas Book by Ed Daly. It's fantastic. The podcasts are fantastic. The book's fantastic. It's all fantastic. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. I was thinking about going weekly, but then I've just realised how much work it is. So I'm not going to be going weekly. I'll be back again. I might go weekly in December, but then the next episode comes out in December. So I don't know. I might as well go weekly in December. We don't know what's happening. But right now, I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, I want you to grab Christmas by the ears and kiss it right in its beautiful face, because we're there now, kids. We're there. When this episode comes out, we're a few days away from Thanksgiving in the States. Obviously, in the UK, we don't have Thanksgiving, but a few days away from Thanksgiving, and then bang, kids, bang. Christmas is upon us, and you've got to make the most of it. You've got to make the most of every minute, every second of Christmas. Do it for me. Like I said, I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. If you want to get in touch, do it, man. Get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. The email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. The website is totalchristmaspodcast.com. Not even worth going on there, to be honest. There's very little on there. But if you want to, you know, there's a contact form. So if you want to contact me and not let me know your email address, you can contact me that way. I'm also on Facebook. So if you want to go on there, I do put up some links and the odd picture when I can remember to, which isn't that often. But I do my best. And my best is something, I suppose. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the show. You know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Well, you coming?
Where?
Why, to the North Pole, of course! This is the Polar Express!